long-faced and, you know, can't do this and can't do that. There is nothing that I can't do as a Christian that I want to do anyways. You know, when I think about it, what are the things that I can't do? Well, I can't smoke and I can't drink and I can't cuss and I can't use drugs and I can't go to X-rated movie places and I can't watch all those. I don't want to do those things anyways. So I don't feel restricted in my Christian life. And on the other side, I get to go to church. And I get to fellowship with God's people. And I get to have the comfort and peace of knowing I'm going to heaven when I die. And that there's a purpose in this life. And I'm getting to meet God's wonderful people and be a part of the family of faith. It's a win-win situation. There's no negative side about it. So I feel sorry for those that aren't saved and have to go through this life without Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 6. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, God, we come before you tonight asking for your help and assistance. Father, I feel my voice starting to give out on me, and I just pray your hand would be there just long enough to get through the Word of God this evening. We pray for our study in the Word of God. Lord, there's no greater book on this earth than your Word. And Father, the riches and the treasures that are contained in it are worth digging for. And Father, worth spending a lifetime looking for. So I pray you'd help us to glean from your Word. Father, we're not looking for nuggets of gold particularly tonight, but Father, just some things that would confirm our faith. Father, that would increase our knowledge of your Word and our understanding of the world and the society in which we live. We're thankful for your Word. It's a guide to our feet and a light to our path. We ask you to use it in that purpose tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to give you a message from Galatians 3 called The Priority of Faith. These verses, verse 6, really down to verse number 18, are about the priority of faith. And then after that, we'll see the purpose of the law in verse 19 down to verse number 29. Again, remember, Paul is addressing the Galatians, old foolish Galatians, verse 1. Addressing the Galatians that after being saved by grace through faith, now we're being persuaded by those that wanted to add the law to it. We call those folks, it's not a biblical term, but we call them Judaizers. Those that were wanting to add the law to grace. And Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon moved to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. So Paul is writing to people that had been bothered and troubled by Judaizers. The Bible is good because it gives us key information against those that would trouble us. Those false teachers and false prophets who take a little bit of Bible. Thank you. Who take a little bit of Bible to confuse us. I've said it one time before. A little bit of Bible is a dangerous thing. Because most of the cults build all their teachings on a little bit of Bible. Most of the false teachers, I remember hearing somebody, I don't know what I was reading, somebody gave me something from in the paper. Somebody wrote a letter to the editor, and it was in there. Was it you, Gary? Somebody wrote it, sent it in there, and it was just the cockiest stuff, the wildest stuff I've ever seen before. That Jesus was not the Son of God. Methuselah was actually the Son of God. And all this guy. And I'm reading this thing and thinking, he's not Jehovah's Witness. He's not Mormon. He's not any cult I recognize. He's just a plain old wacko. That's all there was to it. He just had everything all mixed up. And what he had was a little bit of Bible. And a little bit of Bible will confuse people. So I'm thankful that we've got the whole counsel of the Word of God, so that it can keep us straight in what we understand. And Paul is speaking now to them, and he's going to go to the Old Testament and quote several Old Testament verses and put it all together by inspiration of God as he writes it down and give us the total picture so that we can understand what's going on. These Judaizers boasted of being Abraham's seed. Look back at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You remember one time when the Lord was disputing with the Pharisees? They said to him in John chapter 8 and verse 33. Jesus had just said in verse 32, ye shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And they said to them in verse 30, they said in reaction to that in verse 33, what do you mean make us free? We be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. Now, first of all, that's not an accurate statement because you remember Moses and the Exodus? They were in bondage for 400 years to Pharaoh. But they said, we be Abraham's seed. That was their boast. They were claiming, we saw that in Romans in our Sunday school study, they were claiming their lineage, their Hebrew birth, as a special thing. They said, we be Abraham's seed. Notice they said down in verse number 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. You can just feel the pride and the arrogance in their voice as they say those things. They had religion. Can I say this? Religion makes people defiant. And that's what they were. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. And they said, we be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. Their defiance. That's what their religion did for them. Not only that, but in verse 39, Abraham is our father. That's their defensiveness. They're trying to hide behind the fact that Abraham was their father. That's what religious people do. They are defiant and they are defensive. They're defiant of anybody that comes telling them anything other than what they want to hear. And they're defensive, thinking you're trying to attack their church. I remember last summer when we had our campaign, our Byesville Blitz, and went to every door handing out our church brochures. I don't mean to pick on any certain denial. I'm just giving you the facts, folks, just the facts. Facts are stubborn things. And I could tell you when we were knocking on the door of a Catholic family. Because once they knew who we were, they would shut the door before they'd say a word. They were defensive. They were defiant. We could meet people from Church of Christ or different churches, denominations, and they would smile and say, thank you for the material. We could see atheists and agnostics. And though we ran into one Buddhist fella, and he took our literature and our material. But the religious folks, you know what they do? They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to have anything. They turn away and shut the door and get away as fast as they can. That's what religion does for people. And so that's what the problem was with these Judaizers. They were trying to affect the Galatian Christians by adding the law to them and getting them to turn away from the Apostle Paul and claim Abraham as their father. Well, Paul used that very tactic of claiming Abraham to reason with them. And so he talks about in verse 6 to 9 the faith of Abraham. Notice in verse 6 down to verse 9 you'll see the word faith three times, the word believed in there. And Paul is going to go back to Abraham and start with them because that's what they're claiming. We're Abraham's seed. And show them that Abraham did not follow the law. Abraham was not saved by the law. Abraham was saved by believing God. And so he's telling these Judaizers, these Galatian Christians, if you want to be like Abraham, if you want to be like your father, then believe the promises of God and don't worry about the works of the law. Notice here in verse 6 to 9, the key word there is faith. It is the faith of Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. For the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Notice the example of faith in verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God. You know where Abraham is, don't you? Genesis chapter 12. You know where the law is given? Exodus chapter 20. You know how much happens between Genesis 12 and Exodus 20? Abraham is long before the law. And Paul is using him as an example of faith. You want to go back in history? Don't go to the law of Moses. Go back to Abraham, your father, the founder of the nation. How was his standing before God? There was no law at that time. The law had not been given. And God justified him by faith. Abraham is their example. Notice also in verse 6 the emphasis. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul is putting the emphasis on faith. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. I want you to turn back to Genesis 15 and see the actual account of what Paul is talking about here. Abraham's faith was counted to him for righteousness. Now this gets kind of sticky and tricky a little bit, because what was Abraham's faith in? You say, well, Abraham had his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would come, die on the cross, be buried, and the third day rise again. No, Abraham had no concept of that in Genesis 15. He kind of got a glimpse of it in Genesis 22, and we'll talk about that in a moment, when he took Isaac up to the top of the mountain to sacrifice him. But in Genesis 15, Abraham believed the promises of God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Notice, in Genesis 15 and let's start at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. God, you've told me in Genesis 12, I'm going to be the father of many nations. I don't have any children. All I've got is my household servant. How are you going to do this, God? Verse number 3, And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Verse 4, And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, not the servant, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine own heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said to Abraham, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, So shall thy seed be. On a previous occasion, God had taken Abraham out and said, Look at the sands in the desert. And as many as the sands you see, those are going to be your seed. Now he takes him out and has him look at the skies. And he says, As the stars in the sky, that's going to be your seed. That's a pretty big promise, isn't it? And he brought him forth in verse 5, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars that if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6, And he, Abram, believed in the Lord. And he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. Now that word righteousness, you understand it. All our righteousness are his filthy rags. But God counted Abram's faith in his promise. Again, it's not the promise of Christ at that point, but just his faith in the promise of God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Here's the emphasis. There's no law mentioned. There's no commandment given. God didn't even tell him, believe. He just believed. And so the emphasis, as Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 3, is the emphasis on faith. That before the law, he believed. That without the law, he believed. Abraham believed God. This is such a monumental event that is mentioned three other times in the New Testament other than in Galatians chapter 3. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, And God counted it to him for righteousness. Galatians says accounted. Genesis said counted. Romans 4 says he counted it to him for righteousness. He attributed to Abraham, because of his faith, righteousness. Now again, understand this, folks. There are those today that are believing their baptism saves them. Believing their goodness saves them. And we can go all the way back to Abraham to show that those things do not and cannot save. It's only by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so Paul, reasoning with these Galatian Christians, is showing them the example of faith in Adam. The emphasis on faith. I might mention this also. The other two references in the New Testament are Romans 4:22 and James 2:23. And I like the word there. And God imputed it to him for righteousness. You say, what's imputed? That's a great biblical doctrine. Where God took off his robe of righteousness and gave it to Abraham because he believed God. He got imputed righteousness. Righteousness, it's only counted righteous and it's only imputed by faith. The law never could save anybody. Nor by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But Abraham believed God. The example, the emphasis, the expansion of faith in verse 7. The expansion of faith. All right, it's fine that Abraham believed. What's that got to do with us? Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The kids, I don't know if we sing it here. I hope not. Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I have one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm. How many of you know that song? Okay. The rest of you, we've got to get you to stand up and do it. And those of you that know are saying, please, not tonight, I'm too tired. It's a kid's song, right arm, then left arm, then right foot, then left foot, then nod your head, and spin in circles, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. It's a good activity for the kids. We are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and we become heirs of salvation and of the seed of Abraham. Look at Galatians chapter 3, look down at verse number 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for ye are all the children of God. Now the modernist, the humanist, stops the verse right there. Oh, we're all the children. How many times do you hear politicians say that? Oh, we're all the children of God. Do you hear cockeyed preachers say that? We're all God's children. No, we're not. We're all God's creation, but we're not all His children. That verse says, for ye are all the children of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. You can't leave out that part. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him, and we're not children of God, and we're not children of Abraham, because all of that comes by faith. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse number 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing. Oh, that's scary. The Scripture, foreseeing. You know that the Bible has the attributes of God? The Scripture, foreseeing. You know when you read the Bible, it can show you things. It can show you yourself. That's why so many folks never open the Bible. We don't want to see ourselves. We're not so impressed with the mirror itself when we see ourselves. Much less looking into the Bible that tells us our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so the Bible tells us that the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. It goes all the way back to Abraham. And back in Abraham, God knew He was going to justify not just the Jew, not just the Hebrew, but the heathen by faith. Now He's looking down through the ages. He's looking down through time. And He is foreseeing that there would be a day that you and I would get in by faith in Jesus Christ. And on that basis, it says He preached the gospel to Abraham. Now, I believe that gospel there is Genesis 22. That's when Abraham was called to take Isaac, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, unto a place that I shall show thee of, and offer him as a sacrifice to me. And Abraham got up early in the morning, I think before Sarah got up and figured out what was going on. And he packed up his bags and he took Isaac and they headed up the mountain. And Isaac said, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the animal for a sacrifice? And Abraham's son, God will provide Himself a lamb. And I love that wording. God will provide Himself a lamb. You say, what's that? That's preaching the gospel to Abraham thousands of years before it ever came to pass. Say, how much of that did Abraham get on? Well, apparently the Bible tells me that he preached before the gospel unto Abraham. And Abraham believed. And so here he's given that message that is going to save the nations. And he said to Abraham, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So there's the expansion of the faith, the gospel going. John chapter 8 and verse 56, Jesus told those men talking about Abraham, He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. When did that happen? There on the mountain. There on Mount Moriah in Genesis chapter 22. God revealed to him a picture of the resurrection. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that when he went up there to offer Isaac on that sacrifice, Abraham believed he was going to plunge that knife into his son. Because he also believed that God was going to raise him from the dead. That's what Hebrews tells us. He was going to kill his son, not because he thought it was going to be the end of him, but he firmly believed that God was going to raise him from the dead. Abraham was given a vision and a picture. He was given the gospel long before it ever came to pass in typology. And the Bible says that that gospel was preached to the Gentiles. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I'm glad that I can say as a Bible-believing Christian, a New Testament Christian with faith, that Abraham is my father. I'm not a Jew by birth. My nation is not the nation of Israel. But I have been blessed as being a child of Abraham by faith in God. Those that are counting on anything but faith to get them to heaven are not children of Abraham. They're counting in their gifts of the Spirit. They're counting in their baptismal regeneration. They're counting in their confessions to a priest. They're counting on anything else. They're just like these Judaizers that are departing from faith. The faith of Abraham shown to us as the gospel was preached to him. Then, secondly and lastly, verse 10 to 14, the failure of the law. The faith of Abraham and the failure of the law. The law came 400 years later. And it was not able to build upon that which Abraham already had. The key word in verse 6 to 9 we said was faith. When it comes to the faith of Abraham, when it comes to believing and becoming a child of God, faith is the key word. When it comes to the law in verse 10 to 14, notice the key word, the middle of verse 10. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know what the key word to the law is? Cursed. Notice down in verse number 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. The key word in these verses when referring to the law is cursed. The purpose of the law was not to regenerate. The purpose of the law was not to save. It couldn't do it. The purpose of the law was to curse. Notice this as we look at these verses. Verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In all things. You had to keep all the 613 commandments of God. Who can do it? We can't keep the 10. No one has ever kept the 10. The Apostle Paul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, taught by at the feet of Gamaliel, said, I had not known sin, except the Bible has said, thou shalt not lust or covet. Even the Apostle Paul, as according to the law, blameless, when he saw himself in the light of the Scripture, he said, I couldn't even keep the 10 commandments. And there's nobody alive now that would match the Apostle Paul before his conversion in zeal. And yet he couldn't fulfill. And that's just the 10. We're talking about 613. Verse number 10, we see this. The law could not protect. You know you're protected by faith. You're saved by faith. You're kept by faith. Not by your faith, but by the faith of God who loved us. The faith of Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. When we put our faith in him, it's an eternal compact made right there. The law was never an eternal compact. The law was always conditional because you had to, verse 10, continue in them. I used this illustration and I came across this week in studying either this or Romans. You can drive home tonight, get on the expressway, and go too much over 65 miles an hour. And you'll see this little blue bubble that comes on behind you. And you'll immediately hit your brake, even if you're only going 50 miles an hour. That's just your human nature. You see the police car and you tap the brake, even if you're going the speed limit. Just something about us. But that policeman will pull you over and he'll come to the window, ask for your registration, driver's license, and all that. And you'll simply say this, officer, I am 59 years old. I have never gotten a ticket in my... Now, I can't say this, but somebody will say, I've never got a ticket in my life. I have always obeyed the speed limit. Kind of like the guy this afternoon I was following through Cambridge. going 25 miles an hour everywhere through that street. Had me so frustrated, and the 20 cars behind me too. But he'd pull over and say, I have always followed the speed limit, and I've always, but sir, you were going 85 in a 65. But I have always followed the law. All since I've been 16, I've always. You know what the officer's going to say? Good for you. Here's your ticket. Have a good night. It doesn't matter how much you've kept the law. You now have broken it. And all the goodness you've done isn't going to overcome that. You're still going to have to either go to court and argue it, or you're going to have to just mail the money in and pay the fine. Don't ask me how I know how that works. You'll have to hire a lawyer. You'll have to pay it in. But that one infringement is going to override all the times you obeyed the law. Paul is telling them in verse number 10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the law. You've got to do everything. The law can't protect you. Look back at Deuteronomy 27. Notice something here. I mentioned this morning when I think in Sunday school, Deuteronomy is a rerun of Exodus and Numbers. It's recounting the children's exodus from Israel. They're wandering through the wilderness and the commandments as God gave them. And notice Deuteronomy chapter 27. This is the part for those that want to be under the law. The Seventh-day Adventists. They want to think that keeping the Sabbath is going to save you, and to them the Sabbath is Saturday. That following the dietary laws of the Old Testament are going to save you. That's what they teach and believe. The Old Testament law can't save anybody because it's powerless. All it does is bring a curse. Notice Deuteronomy 27, verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image. All right, the Bible says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The law expands on that and says, cursed is any man that makes a graven image. Verse 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father. Verse 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Verse 18. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Verse 19. Cursed is he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. Verse 20. Cursed is he that lieth with his father's wife. Verse 21. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. Verse 22. Cursed is he that lieth. Verse 23. Cursed is he that lieth. Verse 24. Cursed is he that smiteth. Verse 25. Cursed is he that taketh reward. Verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not. You want the law? The law condemns. The law curses. You know what the last word in the Old Testament is? The end of Malachi, the last word? Curse. Under the law, we're cursed. And so Paul is trying to simply reason with them and say, you're not kept by the law. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Down to verse number 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee. Verse 16, cursed. Verse 17, cursed. Verse 18, 19, cursed. That's what the law brings. It brings a curse. The law condemns. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith as Abraham exemplified it. Faith is what saves. So in verse number 10 of Galatians 3, the law could not protect. Secondly, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Not only could the law not protect, but the law could not purify. Purifying their hearts, the Bible says, by faith. The law of God could not purify anybody. It just showed them how impure they were. Showed them how bad they were. You say, well, if Abraham was saved by faith in Genesis chapter 12, by believing God, why did God give the commandments? Why 400 years later under Moses did he give all these commandments if Abraham was saved by faith? Well, he gave them for two reasons. The law was given to regulate society. The law was given to regulate society. God had watched the children of Israel down in Egypt for 400 years, saw their conduct, saw how they absorbed the lifestyle of the Egyptians while they were there. And when he led them out of bondage to form their own country into the land, in the land of Canaan, to make their own, he said, all right, now you're going to be a peculiar people to me, and here are the commandments that are going to regulate your society. And they became a blessed people because of those commandments. And America has been a blessed nation because we have founded our founding documents, as John and I saw this past week, on the Word of God and on the commandments of Moses. Moses at the Supreme Court building holding not the Bill of Rights, but the Ten Commandments. It's built on there. The law was given to regulate society, how they're to react with one another, not lying with a beast, not lying with a mother-in-law, not eating this thing and that thing and all that. All that was to regulate society. The second purpose of the law was to recognize sin. When they read those commandments, they had to realize we've fallen, we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the commandments do. They convict. The Bible says in Galatians 3, we'll not turn there for time's sake, but back in Galatians 3, look at verse 24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's the purpose of the law, to show our wickedness, to show our ungodliness, to regulate our society and to help us to recognize our sin. But it cannot, Galatians 3:11, it cannot purify. Verse 12, it could not procure. The word procure means to attain something, to requisite something and to receive it. Verse 12 says, the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law doesn't get us anything. You obey the speeding laws for 59 years, nobody gives you a pat on the back. You don't get a citation from the police department saying, thank you for obeying all of our laws for all these years. No, you get the citation when you don't obey it one time. There's no reward in the law. The reward comes by faith. There's no reward in the works of the flesh. There's no reward in baptism. There's no reward in communion. The reward comes from faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 25. I'll turn there and read the story. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up tempting him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord's going to answer him according to his question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. You know what that is? That's the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. This do, and thou shalt live. And what did the man say? But he willing to justify himself. You know what the law just did? It just condemned him. The law just showed him he wasn't right with God. The law showed him, I can't do that. I can't love my neighbor as myself. So willing to justify himself, he says, who is my neighbor? And the Lord gives him the story or the parable of the Good Samaritan. But he came to Jesus saying, what must I do? What law can I keep? And Jesus said, what does the law say? And he repeated the law and yet knew he couldn't keep it. Because no one can keep the law. So it can't gain us anything. Then verse 13 and 14 of Galatians 3. Thank God. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You don't have to go back to those 613 things and make a checklist and strive every day to keep that list. You know that list is tough. You know some of the clothes you're wearing right now you couldn't wear according to that law? Thou shalt not wear woolen and linen sewn together. You got polyester and cotton clothing on, that violates the Old Testament law. You couldn't take an egg from a nest of a bird. I mean, that's under the Old Testament law. That Old Testament law was pretty strict and pretty demanding. And much of probably what you ate today, you couldn't have eaten under that Old Testament law. I had some delicious bacon for breakfast this morning. Erin had some delicious bacon on her back baked potato for lunch. You're not right with God if you don't eat bacon. Somebody had to say amen. But you know, under the Old Testament law, bacon was forbidden. No ham, no pork chops, no bacon. What a miserable life. Christ hath redeemed us. We're making light of that, but you understand what I'm saying. We don't have to keep that Old Testament law. Now, the things on morality, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, those are ever binding. But the ones from the law, from all those things to try to regulate society to gain entrance into heaven, it just isn't going to work that way. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. We think about Jesus on the middle cross and a thief on either side. All of them physically enduring the same punishment and torture. Now the other two thieves were not in Pontius Pilate's judgment hall, were not whipped and beaten, and you understand that. But as far as on Golgotha's hill, being nailed to a cross and hung in the air, all three of them are suffering the same thing. Yet Jesus was suffering immeasurably because those other two thieves weren't suffering for the curse of the law. They were suffering for their own crimes. But Jesus was taking the sins of the whole world, every commandment that had ever been broken by every human being. Imagine that. Every commandment that had ever been broken by every human being, past, present, and at that time, future. He was bearing all that on his body on the tree. He was suffering things that the naked eye could never have imagined. That's why darkness covered the face of the earth for 3 hours. That's why there was an earthquake, and that's why the temple veil was rent from top to bottom. That's why God the Father had to turn His back and turn His face away from His only begotten Son for those times that He was bearing the sins of the world on His body. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So why, foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, would you seek to be put back under the law? Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. In thee shall all nations be blessed. How are we blessed in Abraham? Well, by his faith, by his family. We're born into his family. And by that future seed that was given, that was the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of David, the seed of Abraham, that bore our sins on Calvary's cross, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know what we have now that Moses never wrote about? You know what we have now that the law could never give? Was the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When you and I got saved, we got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, you didn't speak in tongues when it happened. You didn't hang from chandeliers or run the aisles necessarily when it happened. But you got baptized. You got immersed in the Spirit of God the day you trusted Christ as your Savior. Works can't do that. The law wasn't geared to do that. Only faith in Christ does it. Paul's talking to these Galatians. Oh, how foolish can you be? After having been saved by the grace that comes through faith in Christ, why would you return to the weak and beggarly elements of the law? This is the priority of faith. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we are thankful tonight to be in this New Testament dispensation of grace. But Father, we can rest in the promises of God. We can relax.